Welcome to Breitbart News Daily on this clean sweep Tuesday post show. Almost clean sweep, Mr. Vermont. Let's do our opening segment here where we run through it all and we also remind ourselves of the surrealness of the moment. And we need to reflect on that because I don't think many people, if you thought this is where we would be on the day after Super Tuesday, like let's say 6 months ago, you were asked, you know, where are we going to be on the day after Super Tuesday? And you guessed this. I think that would have been a rare opinion. That would have been a hot take. And here we are. And I think everyone's like, oh, yeah, of course here we are. No, no, no. This deserves a moment. So we take that moment here. And then we talk about Mark Robinson, who is probably going to be the next governor of North Carolina as well, because he's great. We do that all here in our opening segment. Biden lost a caucus in the American Samoa to Jason Palmer. Never heard of the guy. There's a Dean Phillips. I've heard his name running for Democrat. There's Marianne Williamson. We've heard of her. She's like the wacky crystals lady. And we got this guy, Jason Palmer. So I heard that last night and I was like, oh, I guess he's like from American Samoa. Maybe he lives there, so he's like he's the guy. He's the American, the local hero. He's not. He was in D.C. yesterday at some hotel, and his phone went off the hook, and he's like, what happened? It's one American Samoa. He's like, oh, weird. I've been focusing my time on Colorado and Minnesota. I assumed he's lived there or went there a bunch, and that's where he put off his head. Nope, he just happened to have won American Samoa. And in equally inconsequential news, Nikki Haley won Vermont. It's a bummer. It's a bummer just because you miss out on the clean sweep. You know? Could have been clean sweep Tuesday for the first time since Bob Dole in 1996. But Bob Dole lost five states in the whole election. Just on Super Tuesday, he went 9-9-9-9-0. 9-9. I like that. He went 9-9 on Super Tuesday. But he lost five other states, some to Pat Buchanan and Steve Forbes. Trump could have won every single state in the entire primary, not just Super Tuesday, but the entire primary. But Nikki Haley had to go and win Vermont because Vermont is an open primary, and they're like communists there. I know we have a lot of New Hampshire people. I don't know if we have any Vermont people. What's the difference between Vermont and New Hampshire politically? What is up with that? I don't know. Other than maybe North and South Dakota, are there any two states next to each other that are the same, you know, like you would think would be the same? Well, North Dakota and South Dakota are like politically, there's no like, oh, well, you know, North Dakota, well, they're very different than us here in South Dakota. Like, I feel like they're the same, but Vermont and New Hampshire are totally different. What is that? Anyway, Nikki won Vermont. So let's, before we go for more results here, play some clips, have some fun. We'll take a moment and reflect here. Let's just do a little reflection. We do a little moment of reflection on this fine Wednesday morning. Things in life, this political moment, can feel like it's inevitable. Right, here we are, the day after Super Tuesday, and it's very easy to be like, oh, well, of course Donald Trump won all the states. And of course it's going to be Donald Trump versus Joe Biden for the rematch in November. Of course. This is exactly how everyone thought it would go. No, don't. Let's not be tricked into thinking. I would say most people thought Trump would not run again. I think back before he announced, I think because there was, you know, all this chatter, a lot of chatter. What's Trump going to do? Is he going to run? Is he going to? I think it was the hot take if you thought he would run again. I think if you said he was going to run again, I think that was like the bold stance. Like, oh, no, he'll run again. Oh, really? You really think he'll run again? Right. So that wasn't that long ago. Wow. Do you think he'll run? Yeah, I do. I think he'll run. Oh, I don't know. I don't think he'll do it again. No, he'll do it again. Right. That was a couple months ago, and now it's, oh yeah, of course he won all the states. By 80-20. These are all articles from before his announcement. Slate, Trump won't run again. I don't think he'd win the 2024 Republican nomination, and I think he knows it, says this guy at Slate. Republican Senator Rob Portman from Ohio, retiring GOP senator, says he doesn't think Trump will run for re-election in 2024. The Hill, two words explain why Trump won't run in 2024. Fear and fight were the words for some reason. It doesn't matter. It's October 2022, just before he announced he was going to run. CNBC, Trump won't be the Republican nominee in 2024, ex-GOP House Speaker Paul Ryan predicts. And he's won every single state, except for Vermont. Now, let me give you another one. Back in 2022, a majority of the American people, at least by these polls, said he shouldn't run. So forget, do you think he will? It was should he? One PBS poll said 28% of independents believe Trump should run again, while two-thirds say the former president should sit out the next election. That was a slip of the tongue that I think was funny. Unintentional, funny, and maybe relevant. Maybe it may have been like an applicable sentence. Like that sentence may have worked anyway, the one I didn't mean to say. So most people didn't even think he could or should run. Here's some, the pollster. His numbers don't move. They're locked in. The good thing for former Trump is his numbers don't drop. The bad thing, he's only talking about a third of the electorate who are in his corner. Okay, well, explain how the New York Times poll has Trump up by 5 if his numbers don't go up. Now, listen, Biden's go down. There's no question that Trump is benefiting from how terrible Biden is. But Trump's also going up. All right, so I want to just take a pause on that. Because, again, it feels inevitable. It's like, oh, yeah, of course. No, not of course. Not of course. You can bet on that. I've never done this before. But you can, bet on, political things. You can bet on who's, there's, a betting market out there for who's going to win this or that or whatever. And you can bet. I can go back and find out what the betting market said back then. But it was not a done deal. That there are very few people who are like, oh, yeah, he'll run. He'll sweep the tables. He'll be up by 5-7 months out. And that was a very rare take. But that's where we are. And that's pretty good. All right. So what happened? He won everything. I don't know. What do we want to do? The first time there was a big Super Tuesday was 1988. And I think I said, only Bob Dole swept. Every time, whoever won Super Tuesday in the Republican primaries, whoever won Super Tuesday went on to be the nominee, right? And only Bob Dole swept. And Trump won them all except for Trump. Before Trump was the shoo-in, it was all going to come down to yesterday, right? Because there was DeSantis. That's another thing. I forgot all about that. Do you remember DeSantis ran? Now, that's a great example of, oh, yeah, no, of course this is how it was going to be. I know there's a big, huge DeSantis thing. I was talking to Alex Marlowe yesterday on the TV. It was funny. A bunch of things were funny about that appearance. But I said, why is Nikki Haley hanging around? And he's like, I have no idea. I'm out. I got nothing. I had ideas throughout. I had things I thought, but now I'm done. None of those things apply anymore. I got nothing. The most recent thought was, two thoughts ago was, oh, if he gets thrown in jail, then she'll be like the last gal hanging around. So it's like, well, we got to go with her. But he's not going to jail. Or at least before November, he's not going to jail. And so then the other thing is, oh, he's got to get leverage, right? The people behind her are just trying to get leverage, trying to get as many votes as possible so that when it comes to when she's ready to drop out, which is like today, I guess, right, then Trump will have to give them something, not necessarily her, but them, the people behind her. They'd be like, hey, we want you to put this type of person in your office, or we want you to have this policy, or don't do this, or whatever. And if you don't, we're not going to give you our 46% of the voters of Texas. And you need those people. So she's trying to get as much leverage as possible. But she doesn't have any. In Texas, Trump won 78-17. That's not, there's no leverage there. There's no... Some of these states, so a lot of these states are 80-20. Oklahoma's 82-16. Arkansas, 77-18. Tennessee, why we moved here, 77-20. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, Alabama for a while was running 90-10. This is pretty close. 83-13 for Donald Trump. So there's no leverage. No leverage. Maybe California was 79-18. California's a red state. Oh, it's so annoying. I should say the conservatives in California are very conservative. That is true. The conservatives in California are very conservative. Many of the conservatives in New Hampshire, for instance, remember when there's New Hampshire primary, we have people from New Hampshire calling. They're like, oh, yeah, it's a rhino herd up here. So you could argue that people, a lot of the Republicans in New Hampshire are pretty squishy. No, not in California. The Republican, like the people in California who are conservative are very conservative. So those are the blowouts. Alaska, 88-12. Like, what are we even doing? The close states, there's a couple of close ones. Colorado, 63-33. Utah, 58-41. Utah's a funny state politically. Virginia, 63-35. You're going to get a lot of swamp creatures there, 63-35. And that's Massachusetts, 60-37. It's close, I guess. And Minnesota. Minnesota is maybe the funniest state politically. Jesse Ventura was their governor. It's a very weird place. 69-29. Trump won that one too. So he blew them all out. So Nikki doesn't have any leverage. When will she drop out? It doesn't matter. So did I say Vermont? They have an open primary? Yeah, so anyone can vote. So that's a little case of sabotage. Nikki didn't even speak last night. Trump did. I got two clips I want to play of Trump, and then two clips I want to play of Mark Robinson. Have you ever heard Mark Robinson? Mark Robinson won the primary for governor of North Carolina. He's the lieutenant governor now. So he'll probably be the governor, right? He'll ride the Trump wave into the governor's mansion. North Carolina was 74-23 for Donald Trump. So this will probably be your next governor of North Carolina. He's awesome. I'm going to do Trump first because no one can beat Mark Robinson. You can't do better than a Mark Robinson speech. It's impossible. So it wouldn't be fair. Truly, it wouldn't be as good as Trump is. It wouldn't be fair to put him after Mark Robinson. So let's start with just two things that Trump last night. If you missed it, he spoke late last night. I was in bed. So here's a little Trump.
Job they're doing, but in the meantime, they're pouring into California and they're pouring into Arizona because those governors aren't doing anything. They're doing nothing.
Real quick, coming up at 7:45, we're going to talk with Carrie Lake. Senator Sinema from Arizona, another weird political state. She's out. She's like, I'm done. I'm not running for re-election. We'll talk about why a little later. But Carrie Lake's going to be here at 7:45.
But today it was just announced before I came out. It was unbelievable. I said, that must be a mistake. They flew 325,000 migrants, flew them in over the borders into our country. So that really tells you where they're coming from. They want open borders, and open borders are going to destroy our country. We need borders, and we need free and fair elections, or we don't have a country. This is an incredible group of people. So many celebrities that I'm not going to introduce any because I'm just going to get myself in trouble if I do that, because I'll leave out most of you. But this is a room chock full of incredible, talented people, like some of the guys standing right in front of me, right? Big, big futures, big, fat, beautiful futures. Oh, I'd love to be your age. I'd pay you a lot of money to be your age. But we have some tremendously talented people in this room, including tremendously talented political people that have helped me right from the beginning. We had the safest border in the history of our country. We built 571 miles of wall. We had Mexico supply us with 28,000 soldiers because we wanted them, that's why. And they said, we won't do that. I said, yes, you will, you will. And in the end, they did. It was an easy negotiation, but we had the safest border, the best numbers we've ever had, and now we have the worst numbers probably in the history of the world. It's sad to see what's happening to our cities. Our cities are being overrun with migrant crime, and that's Biden migrant crime. But it's a new category of crime, and it's violent, where they'll stand in the middle of a street and have fistfights with police officers. And if they did that in their countries from where they came, they'd be killed instantly. They wouldn't do that. So the world is laughing at us. The world is taking advantage of us.
Do you think the world is laughing at us line? He's been using that. He's been using that since 1982. He's been saying that. You think that line hits? I think it does. I think Americans don't like to be laughed at. I have to always go back and forth between how a conservative would think about a thing and then how an independent, a moderate, would think about a thing. I don't think anyone likes to be laughed at. And because that's a talking point from the left, too, right? The talking point would be like, oh, you can't vote for Trump. The world is laughing at us. And that's a compelling talking point for the left. Oh, and it's like, what are you talking about? Who? Oh, you know, France. So like, if anyone ever uses that, just take them one step further down that thought process. Who's the world? Remember we asked Frances Martel about that. Right, the world is laughing. And she's like, yeah, well, people say that they mean England, France, and Germany. What they don't mean is Eastern Europe, you know, African leaders, Asian leaders, like other, there's other countries around the world than in England, France, and Germany that love Trump and love having a strong president here in America. So I don't think people like, I don't think Americans like being laughed at. And there's no question that other countries are taking advantage of us and laughing about it. Certainly China. All right, one more Trump clip from last
night. That horrible surrender in Afghanistan. I call it a surrender. We took the soldiers out first. You know, I dealt with the leaders of the Taliban in Afghanistan. They were the ones that were causing the trouble. The press was very angry because they said, why are you calling them? I said, because that's where the problem is. I say oftentimes, I say, they asked Jesse James, Jesse, why do you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money is. And I said, that's where the problem is with the Taliban. And I spoke to Abdul. He's still the leader. Believe it or not, he's really the leader of Afghanistan, but he's the leader of the Taliban, a rough group. I say, don't ever shoot our soldiers again. Don't ever do it. Very interesting what happened is that, you know, we were having, during the Obama administration, previously, they were shooting a lot of our soldiers, and I let them know. I said, don't ever, ever let that happen. I said, in a rather nasty fashion. We don't have to go into it tonight. For 18 months, we lost nobody in Afghanistan, and then we had that horrible, horrible withdrawal where we lost 13 soldiers, 38 horribly wounded. Left Americans behind. You know, you have Americans right now still behind. Call them hostages if you like. It was a terrible moment. We left $85 billion worth of brand new, beautiful equipment behind, jets and tanks and everything you can think of, goggles, night goggles. They didn't used to fight. They're good fighters. They didn't used to fight at night, but now they do because they have goggles. They have better goggles than we.
I would love to have been on that phone call with Trump and the head of the Taliban, where he tells them to stop shooting Americans. And then the guy says, or they obliges. Go to Justin, who is in Vermont. Justin, what's going on, man?
How's it going? Not too bad.
Hey, man, I appreciate you calling in. So I was curious about Vermont a moment ago. So I have a slight tie and therefore affinity to New Hampshire, the live free or die state, Justin. But you guys elect Bernie Sanders to be your senator. I don't understand the difference between New Hampshire and Vermont.
Honestly, I don't understand Vermont politics. It's most people don't know, it's like Vermont's an open carry state. They're very, very gun friendly. When I talk about it, it's like almost like converting gun laws, comparing them to Texas. And I don't want to say that too loud because Vermont might be one of that and try changing it. It seems like to me, if you're on the eastern side of the state, like we border New Hampshire, everything's very conservative, Republican. And then you go toward New York, like Burlington on the western side of the state, it's like two different states. Very different.
Well, but this is weird too, because northern New York is very conservative.
Yes.
So it's not like western Vermont is butting up against Manhattan or something.
No.
So
I just feel like it's a lot of like Burlington is like we call our version of New York City.
Yeah. Okay. What about northern Vermont? Is northern Vermont next to Canada? Like that would make more sense. The closer you get to Canada, the more liberal you are, but like that
I'm only 15 minutes from the border. I could throw a stone, and it's very, very conservative.
See, I don't get it. Like what do we know about the history, like what happened 200 years ago or hundreds of years ago that made the settlers of Vermont so different from the people of New Hampshire? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand it. Like we have a
Ah, darn it! We are. He's 15. He's 15. You're breaking up a bit here, Justin. But let me, why? How can you guys be so pro gun rights? I mean, it makes sense, right? You're in the country there, but then vote for Bernie Sanders. What? How does that connect? Oh, Justin's calling from the woods. Ah, we lost. Darn it, Justin. We lost it. Seriously, that's weird, isn't it? That's beautiful there, though. So I got pictures of Vermont. If you call in, I often just Google your state. I just look at pictures. Like Vermont, oh, it's just, like that's just unbelievable. What a beautiful state. And what is up with the people voting for Bernie Sanders, among other? All right, let's go to Mark Robinson here. So Mark Robinson is the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. And he won the primary to be the Republican nominee for governor. And he'll probably win. And he's great. He's a great conservative. He realized he was a conservative when I think he read Rush Limbaugh's book. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a conservative. I assumed he was a preacher first. I thought he was a preacher, then got into politics. I don't think he was. He just has it. He has it down. Here's the thing. So I got two speeches, one from more recently. This one was, he's in a black church, and it's from, I think he was lieutenant governor when he did this. I think he was lieutenant governor. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was just before, but they still put him, they still made, like voted for him to be lieutenant governor after this, or he was lieutenant governor. He didn't care. And it's just one of the all-time great clips. And he won the thing yesterday. So I feel like I just want to play it.
Something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders. Two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. And I can already see WRL out there. They got their licking their pencils around, trying to write fierce as they can. Get every word of this here. Get every word of this. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up, man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA. You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. Come after me if you want to. I don't care. You want my head? Here it is right here. Come on, come get it. I don't care because it's time for us to stand up. Now, I'm not afraid to stand up and tell the truth about that issue. They're dragging our kids down into the pit of hell trying to teach them that mess in our schools. Tell you like this, that ain't got no place at no school. 2 + 2 don't equal transgender. It equals 4. We need to get back to teaching them how to read instead of teaching them how to go to hell. Yeah, I said it, and I mean it.
A little sidebar. Our church that we go to here in Tennessee, the day we got there was the first time their new preacher was in too, right? So new preacher. They have a black preacher who came from a black church before this. So he does that. But the church is very white and older, older. And so he does that, and everyone in the audience, or what, right? It's like that doesn't say anything bad. So it's like one of his bits to like do that whole thing, and everyone's silent, maybe like one amen or something. And he's like, "Why is it so quiet in here?" Like he does the whole. It's great. It's awesome. He's been there for like 7 months, and people are starting to get a little more jovial. So give another 7 months, and maybe everyone else will be like that. And the audience as well. So that's cool. He's going to be the new governor of North Carolina. That's pretty neat. All right, here's one more. This is a nice way to end this segment.
Thank you. This nation will be what God wants it to be. And the people.
I listen to everything on 2X. Here we go.
This nation will be what God wants it to be. And the people in it who want to destroy it, I send you a message today. There are warriors in your path. And you will have to defeat us to take this nation down, because we are here, we are ready, we are willing to fight, because what God has blessed us with will not go easily into the night. You'll have to do it over our dead bodies. So let's stand together, let's fight together, let's save America together, and let's save every state in this nation and the people along with it. God bless you, God bless this Washington, D.C., and God bless the United States of America.
All right, North Carolina, here we go. Hey, welcome back to Breitbart News Daily. We talked to Carrie Lake on today's show as well, because the senator from Arizona Cinema has retired. She's done because she's now an independent, and there's no way she can win on that. So she's out, which leaves a better opening for Carrie Lake to hopefully win that race. So we talked to her. Surely that interview will be on Breitbart.com. So we are going to play for you here the great Alex Marlowe. We'll go right to the editor-in-chief of Breitbart.com, who last night we were doing TV coverage on the First TV, and he decided don't know what he was thinking. He decided to challenge me to an unbutton the top button game of chicken. And he did not know that that is a battle that I'm never going to lose. I will go to the deepest of V's. Alex Marlowe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Mike. I was reflecting on our evening last night, and I think that I made the right choice. It was especially given the text alert I just got from the Breitbart app, which hopefully everyone subscribes to, is lying in bed about to get up to do the show and reading the news, and all of a sudden, boom, on my phone, I note that Nikki Haley is out. And that's why I was unbuttoning my shirt, because what were we supposed to do? We were just doing this clown game last night, acting like there's a primary going on where there really wasn't. It's been over. It was totally over. We were, you know, pretending, yeah. We in the opinion media, about what's going on. And so that's why we got into that game of chicken, and you cleaned my clock, I have to say. I was buttoning back up by the end of it.
Well, that's the thing. That was interesting. We cut back to you. You didn't know. You ended up knowing, but we cut back to you right after the hit, and the button was back on.
It was back on. Yeah, it was. It was. You guys caught me dead.
What happened there? You just
I was out of my element. I gave it my all. Sometimes you show up to a gunfight, and all you've got on you is a pair of nunchucks.
Yeah, that's it. And I was a swimmer in college. You think you're going to beat the former college swimmer in the take the shirt off game. I mean, come on now. But listen, the ratings were huge, and that's the important thing. So Nikki not endorsed it. This is the question right now, and I know we do this every 4 years, and it always seems to work out, I think. But we've been picking on Colorado. I don't know why, but Colorado, 63-33 for Trump. But, you know, Drudge Report will spin that as 275,000 people voted against Donald Trump. So what is Donald Trump to do to get 275,000 people in Colorado?
I actually find that interesting because maybe this was a mild service Nikki Haley and her Democrat donors provided all of us. Is maybe a blueprint of some of the places where Trump is weak, where people just really don't want to vote for him. And I do think that this is a legit vulnerability. If you talk to some of my peers in the Breitbart newsroom, some of them would have you believe that Trump's just going to win in a walk. It's going to be a total landslide. It's going to be a rout. That's what we're going to get. And I am not that confident. I think that it could happen. And I think there's a lot of data that will make those people, you know, perhaps look very good in November. But I just always assume that Trump's negatives are incredibly high, not with me. I like him, but not with many of you, but with other people. He rubs them the wrong way, and they'll never get past that. And the fact that the Democrat machine, with their ballot harvesting and their big tech manipulation, et cetera, they're all just going to be so fired up to try to stop him that they're going to get Joe Biden 82 million votes this time. Mm. So it just, we cannot proceed with the rest of, you know, the next 9 months of the year. We cannot proceed, or 8 months, with any expectation other than that somehow it's going to be much more difficult than it looks. And if we get to November and Trump does not win, or even not win by a lot, these are going to be things that are that indicate why. Because you saw some pockets where when he's basically running unopposed, he still didn't necessarily win, and or he didn't win by a lot. Now, it doesn't bother me that much yet. There's a lot of daylight now between today and Election Day, but it gives you a little bit of a sensation that this could be where there are chinks in the armor.
A quick sidebar. Are you to tell us that there is not unanimity in the Breitbart.com newsroom and workforce on things?
Well, yeah, there's not unanimity in the sense that people are, yes, entitled to their own opinion. And you might not be able to glean that from the front page, like, believe it or not.
This is MSNBC. So this is, where are they here? I don't know where they are. Virginia. This is a Republican woman that they found on the street. Oh, my goodness. An ad. She said, why don't I just tell you what she said? She said, I can't vote for Trump. He's a lunatic. He's an absolute lunatic. So she voted for Nikki Haley. Here's what she said. He lies. He cheats. He bankrupted millions of businesses and people. I don't see anything good about him. And the guy said, if Donald Trump's the nominee in November, do you support Joe Biden over Donald Trump? And she said, no. What do you do? I don't know.
Yeah.
What is it? That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a lot of people. There's a lot of people who are tuned out on the political process. They're just not into either the two major political parties. They're not into the two candidates. They didn't like Trump as a person. They don't like what Biden's doing as a president. And they might just hang out at home. I think that's a real possibility. It, you know, they might change their mind in the next 9 months when Trump hopefully does the sort of things he's been doing lately, which is trying to be more of a unifier. As people see more how the weaponization, how the lawfare against Trump is so unfair and anti-democratic, hopefully people see all that stuff. I am optimistic that they will, but we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure that's going to happen. There is there is certainly people who will opt out. I know that there is one Fox personality. I'm not trying to give her more publicity. I just heard her explain why she doesn't vote for either major political party, and that makes her not part of the problem. I think that absolutely makes her part of the problem. But, you know, people have this weird logic. So how many of those people are out there? Is it 2%, 3%? What if it's 10%? And if that's the case, who does that favor? That's another interesting thing. Does that favor Trump more or Biden more? Mm. And I always feel like that would favor Biden more, because even though people think Biden's old, not a good president in general, Democrats seem to rally behind their guy, which I think Mike was actually, upon reflecting on it, the biggest takeaway from yesterday has nothing to do with Trump or Haley. I think the biggest takeaway was that yet again, we got more data that Joe Biden is the Democrats' person. He's their guy. He always has been. Everything else was a fantasy. Anyone who told you it wasn't going to be Joe Biden was either lying to you or just creating content or was totally misguided. And well, we've been telling people the Breitbart newsroom for a long time. It's been Joe. It's always been Joe. And yesterday was more evidence. And hopefully some of you are considering that who've heard me say that on the show over and over and over again. I really appreciate it.
I got in a bit of trouble the other day. Making some well, first we started talking about women. You know what I mean, Alex?
Yeah.
Right? Am I right?
I know women.
All right. So, hence our conversation. Hence yesterday, our shirts being taken off. I mean, listen, the women, we know the women, right? So, I got in some trouble with some women. Some women called in and, you know, did the women thing and all that. But anyway, I made some comments about people voting and how we... You people listening right now, like if you're listening to Sirius XM Patriot 125 at 8:13 in the morning, you're a little weird, or at least like weird in the sense that you're in a very small minority. Like I don't know what that minority is, but most people are listening to Hits
it's
One.
A narrow
right
definition. Yeah, it's a narrow definition of weird, but I see what you're saying.
I would, but weird is probably not the best word. But like I don't know, what the number one station is on Sirius XM, but like you know. Like there's a lot of choices and like you're choosing to be here and like that's amazing, but don't go thinking that everyone else is like you. That's not it. So when you think of the voter outside of the Breitbart.com goer, a consumer, who's this person in your mind? Who are they? What are they doing? And how are they making decisions? That's the more important question. How are they making decisions?
I think that these are the people who are not all of them. I think a lot of the people who, and I follow some of these people on the internet who are obsessed with sports and they're obsessed with pop culture and they don't know the difference between Democrat and a Republican. And a lot of you in this audience don't have anyone in your life who's like this. If you're the type of person who's listening to a show like this at a time like this, as Mike notes, you might not know any people like this, but you know, I was stunned when I had a very diverse upbringing. And I, in the sense that my parents always put me in the best schools, but I, for example, worked at a batting cage in a warehouse in a part of town where with Spanish billboards around it. So I got a lot of character built from my normal life.
About that we'll save for another day and not after Super Tuesday.
We could do hours. We could do hours.
I can't wait.
Yeah, and it was terrific. But it was a lot of my best friends at the batting cage thought George Bush was a Democrat. And that was very revealing to me when I was 18 years old, that there were grown people who could run businesses, who could be good workers, who could be good people and not know the president's political party. So those people do exist. And do you think those people are necessarily excited to see a rerun in the last election? They're probably not. So that means they might not tune in. And if they don't tune in, then given the strength of the Democrat machine that typically favors Democrats. So because they're more likely just to get to people the last minute, and it just feels like Republicans, we have to break through the wall of the media and big tech, et cetera, to earn people's vote. So that is, I'm just saying this not to be pessimistic. I'm saying this to be realistic about what's ahead of us and why every vote counts and why we need to wake these people up. We need to shake them by their lapels. We got to get engaged or else we very well could see more of this Joe Biden catastrophe that we're witnessing.
Yeah, complacent Carl gets us nowhere in the next 8 months here. I saw a poll yesterday and I brushed it off at first because it didn't make sense in my brain. But the more I think about it, I think it's something. It speaks to this. It was something, I forget the numbers even, but it was, you know, Trump's up by five. That's the big New York Times poll right now, the nationwide poll. Trump's up by five. Okay. But then the question was, well, hypothetically, if Trump gets convicted of a crime, then who do you vote for? And to me, it's like this doesn't change anything. What are you talking about? Like, who cares? Biden's up by 10 all of a sudden. And you're like, whoa. Who's that person who can see like all the lawfare and everything here, but then that's a game changer for me. I understand that, but that's most people, I think.
Yeah, I don't necessarily understand either. I mean, do you have a
I don't think people are think about things that much. I think most people there's like to your point, like Democrat good,
Republican
nice.
Bad. Yeah, no. Yeah. This is a this is a real phenomenon in this country, and that's why we can't. It only really comes up on shows like this in general election years when the nominees are set. That's the only time it really matters, is because, day to day, and I even in the midterms, you're only getting people who really care about the political process, the civic process, voting for the most part. But then there are people who, there's a big difference made by people who are mostly non-engaged and don't care that much during the vast majority of the 4-year election cycle that are starting to get much more relevant. And I'm worried more about those people than the people who are paying attention. The people who are paying attention, you're seeing the polls that Trump is making headway with suburban women, with blacks, with Latinos. He's making headway on the issues. He's crushing Biden on the issues. People are fed. Their top two issues right now are the border and the economy. Perfect for Trump. Everything is lining up perfectly, aside from, of course, the Democrats' ability to cheat. And not just ballot stuffing, legal cheating. They're good at it. They're going to do it this time, and they're going to do it on behalf of Joe Biden, who's always been their guy.
Okay. I mean, I got to ask you more on that. What do you mean cheating? What does cheating mean for you?
I cheat by mail, ballot harvesting, getting people to vote 30 days in advance, making sure that, you know, they're making all these rules so more people can handle your ballot, making sure they're fighting voter ID laws as hard as they can to make sure that you have no idea who's showing up at the polls. The fact that tech is going to make it so they'll send voter alerts to people who are Democrats, which was demonstrated by Dr. Robert Epstein last time around, and not send them to Republicans. All these things are going to happen. And we need to be aware that is going to create a buffer for them. Now, will it be 10 points? It's not going to be 10 points, but it might be a couple. Mm-hmm. And it only needs to be a few thousand votes in a few key areas to make a difference.
That's it. That's right. Yep. No, they have their trick up their sleeve. If there's any question about that. Sort of speaking of that, we talked with Carrie Lake a moment ago. So Kristen Sinema, senator from Arizona, mm-hmm. she's out. And Carrie Lake has a little bit of a better road to victory here now. So let's do a quick recap on Sinema. She's a bizarre person, right? Like a maverick. And then I think that speaks to Arizona. Why is Arizona so weird politically?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been spending a fair bit of time there since moving to California. I've been out there a number of times, and it is an odd place. People are largely pretty engaged there, and they've got, it's one of those cities, it's one of those states, like so many, where the cities are blue and there's universities, and that drives the Democrats, but then most of the state feels like gun-toting Republicans. It is. I don't have them pegged at all. It feels like the Republican Party is a total mess there. I think that seems to be a problem that seems to be getting addressed. There's a lot of conservatives who are moving out there. It's one of those places that's kind of magnetized a lot of conservatives who want to get out of blue states. So I'm optimistic about that. But I think that they're fighting a battle where they have an unorganized party who is not drafting candidates who are unifiers, or they're drafting other candidates who are cause problems. And I do think that is a factor here. And I'm curious what the Sinema dropping out means, because I think this is a total Rorschach test, because it means you could get a more liberal Democrat, which is not good for us. But my gut reaction was this is an opportunity for Republicans to pull in some moderates and take control of the state, because it feels like it's supposed to be a red state, but it's not. So I don't have a prediction yet, but it is, I admit my gut was that this was a positive thing.
For Carrie Lake and therefore us. I'm still reeling from the Carrie Lake governor's race. That to me was such a layup. Katie Hobbs was so pitiful. And I'm really, like, part of my analysis, I think people voted for her literally out of pity. Because she like didn't want to debate because she got nervous. She's like, I can't debate. I don't like public speaking.
Yeah, I love this point.
Like, what? What are you talking about?
I love this point. She was a total idiot. And the audience knows I don't say that about many people. Yeah. I mean, pretty much Ken Buck only. And that's it. It's a lot of you know that reference that I'm making right now. Very few people. I'm like, that person is dumb. Kamala Kembach. That's about it. I usually come in and, you know, I wrote a whole book about how Joe Biden's not an idiot. So it's
that's
the,
right. Good point. Yeah. That's not your go-to.
No, it's not. And she was so dumb, and Carrie Lake is so appealing. And the fact that Lake didn't drive that one home illustrates my point perfectly. So thank you for bringing it up, because that would have been the example I should have reached for. So thank you for having my back, Mike.
That you need to, oh, I always do, that you need to overcome the trickery and the shenanigans. Is that the point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that there's clearly a not organized party who couldn't deliver that one for Lake.
That's
so,
right.
And I know that's why some of our friends at Turning Point are stepping up. They're out there. They're really trying to do some of the heavy lifting, which I appreciate. But then what happens when people like that do that, then the establishment gets threatened. I was like, who are these guys? Like, they're not the party. He's like, yeah, but they don't want to watch their stake taken over by Democrats. They live there. So it's
yeah,
important
like,
to them.
They should be the party. You guys,
yeah,
if you were doing
literal
your job.
Residents. Yeah, yeah, they live in the state. They don't want the state run by Democrats. It's not just it's not all a power play. A lot of it's the practical matters. They prefer their state, you know, yeah, to be run by Republicans.
On our Super Tuesday coverage last night, I forget if it was you or someone else. I was distracted the whole time by your deep V. So excuse my lack of forgiveness. It's all kind of a blur, you know.
Mission accomplished.
Sure, your wife feels the same way when she first met you. She's
some days,
yeah, some days. Still now. The Trump's like pretty moderate on a lot of things. Like, that's pretty interesting. And I think, yeah, I know it's you brought up abortion, right? Like,
yeah.
Trump's like there's a few issues that Trump is. So someone called in earlier and talked about the Nikki Haley. Like, how do you bring in the Nikki Haley? How do you make, it was like, how do you make the Nikki Haley people more conservative or vote more conservative? And it's like, I don't know, actually. What's more fascinating to me is how so many diehard conservatives like me can still support a guy like Trump who's like, yeah, abortion at, I don't know, 13 weeks maybe. Like, that's fascinating, more so than the other way around.
I can't believe that you made a reference, passing reference to my wife before this, because this is her favorite point that I've been making about Trump, is that he actually has a way of being the only honest politician in America. Everyone acts like he's so dishonest, he's a liar, he's constantly lying. I make this point.
Lost it. Sorry, I lost it. We lost it. Unbelievable. It's one thing to lose someone, but to lose someone at the pivotal moment of, and the point was, and then we lost you. So if you can start over, sorry.
This is my wife's favorite point that I make about Trump lately, is that he's sort of the only honest politician in America, because he can say to his voters, who his base is more pro-life than he is, that I think this is the practical way to go. Look at the the Alabama IVF stuff, which the Democrats see as a huge opportunity for them to try to divide the Republican Party, because the Republican Party's got a very tough decision. If you're pro-IVF, you're kind of acknowledging there's some embryos that are going to get destroyed, and that's a very tough call for Catholics like me. It's like, I'm not totally comfortable with that. But Trump cuts right in. He's like, no, we got to have a way, have IVF, have to protect it, got to figure out a way to save it. And it's like, okay, there you go. That's what we're doing for now. And then we can debate it on talk radio and maybe we'll change our opinion over time. But he kind of gets in there and does the same thing with abortions. I have massive problems with virtually every single abortion that happens on a moral level. But Trump comes in and says, I'm for a few exceptions. I mean, that's my position. That's the position we've had. And so he's kind of laying out the framework of where the party is. And it's sometimes more moderate than his own base. And that's something that is tough to do. Anyone who spends any time on the internet knows, if you stake out a position right now that is not the most hardcore position, you're going to get roasted by the base voters. It's just every time Trump somehow doesn't have to do that. And he can still, they still love him. Trump was not good on the border for 3 years. He did well the last year, but there's a reason the wall's not up. There were mistakes made. His audience, his voters, completely forgive him. That is something you cannot teach. That's generational political talent to have that ability.
Last question for you. Any advice for Nikki Haley tonight, or not tonight, in like an hour and a half?
I have no idea still. It's just, I'm so lost. I'm completely lost. I don't know why she was in it. I don't know why she liked getting humiliated like this. I think it hurt her career. It's very hard for me to fathom all of the terrible decisions that she's made and all the people around her. You know what I would do? I would announce I am not going to work in the defense industry. I'm not going to bad cash for my Democrat donors. I regret taking their money, and I support Donald Trump wholeheartedly. If she said that, then, you know, maybe she can run for something in a few years. But if not, we're not going to forget how bizarre this all was.
Sorry I wasted everyone's time and money. Someone called in and said, well, she has to be his vice president.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where I was afraid things were going when Ron DeSantis dropped out, that Haley's going to corner the market. She's going to run a smart race, and she's going to get in the ticket somehow. And Trump is going to see it as he does do identity politics sometimes, which I don't like. And I've said this to his face. I don't like that he does that. He does do identity politics. He could pick her. He could bring all the families together at the perfect time with the establishment and the anti-establishment, and you got women, you got minorities, everyone's on the ticket, everyone's happy, and he could do it. You could see him doing it. And I was thinking, oh man, that's a bad idea. That's a really bad idea. And I don't think it's going to happen now. So, but that is where it's a interesting take, because I think that was the smart money. I'm unhappy to say, for 5 minutes, 2-3 months ago, and now it's not.
Okay, good. So you don't think he needs to?
I don't think he's going to. But I do think 2-3 months ago, she might have been the front runner for 5 minutes.
Yeah. There was a funny moment last night as well that was tricky on our TV coverage, because a baby cried in the middle of our hit. You could hear a baby crying. And there were four people as a part of the production of last night's television that had access to a microphone. And all four of them, it could have been their baby crying.
Mm.
Was it how? And I say that it was like a little game of mystery. Like, Matt, John, whose baby? Who are we doing here? It might have been yours. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The question is, how is your baby doing?
Oh, thank you for asking. No, Duchess Marlowe Jr. she's having an incredible run. She's very easy on the eyes, and we had a lovely night last night. It was her time, though, to be a little. She gets a little fussy around the time that I was on with you, but no, I don't think it was her. I think it was her. You might get, though, we've got Duchess Marlowe Sr. She's 2 now, and she is just loaded with personality and fearless, and when she wants to let it rip, she does not hold back. Right. She really doesn't.
Will she barge in?
Could have been her.
Will that happen one day, just the old barge?
No, because the office is not in an area that she can easily access, so okay. I don't, but she could have beckoned from downstairs, conceivably.
Yeah. And that's possible. It sounded more like a 7 week older cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what's also weird is, like, with the four of us, like, we don't even hear it. That's the thing,
so,
too.
Was it a gorgeous, beautiful, sonorous cry?
I needed to tie myself to the mast so as not to crash into the shores with this siren song.
Yeah, it could have been her then. She's been very gifted. She's got a real set of pipes.
just as beautiful. Do you. Alex Marlowe, editor-in-chief, Breitbart.com. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Mike.
Have a fantastic day. I'm American made. I got American parts. I got American. Oh, how quickly things fly. We just got done with, I was going to say March Madness, Super Tuesday. And now moving right on to the State of the Union address. We'll preview that with Dr. Sebastian Gorka tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Mike Slater, Breitbart News Daily. Spread the word.